to Rebub, the show where we talk about the men and women slapping meat in the middle of the squared circle and the stories they're telling in the process, brother. I'm GB, you got Matt, you got Jake, and once again joining us, the Lord and Master of the Ups and Downs Progress Wrestling Champion, it's Simon Miller here yet again. Simon, thank you so much for sticking around with us, technical issues and all. We very much appreciate you.
My pleasure.
Jake, Simon, and also... Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But I was going to say, as a wrestling content creator, I have to do both AEW and WWE. Otherwise, I get called a shill for the next month. So
sure. The problem that we were running into was that our episodes were getting too long. And then we recorded the WWE episode. And turns out that was the same length as all the other episodes that we've just recorded. So holy shit. Yeah. Oh, man.
Figure it out one day.
One day. And Jake is right. It's mostly my fault.
I cut you off, Jake. What was Jake?
What were you going to say?
I had a question I didn't get to ask you last time. As a fellow accent haver, I just have a question. It's more of a culture question, a culture mixed with wrestling kind of question. Being across the pond, what side of the road to WrestleMania do you drive on over there?
Good God. And do you say it's GB's fault that we're going to
I do have a very, very quick story. It doesn't really tie in, but I love telling it. And listen, I'm not saying this ties into any stereotypes, but it made me laugh. It happened a good 15 years ago. And I was working for a publishing company, and a bunch of Americans came over. They want to invest in our company. And we talked about doing a big meeting or a big summit or whatever in Los Angeles. And they actually said to me, looked me dead in the eye, and they said, will you be taking the bridge to America? And I went, what? And they thought there was a bridge that went over the ocean that we just drive. And because I was a very young man and because I didn't really have the confidence, I just went, yes, sir, I'll be taking the bridge.
Oh, man. And when you think about the current state of the United States right now and that story,
a lot of it makes sense.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, guys, make sure you don't forget, if you enjoy this stuff, make sure you like and subscribe. And if you're watching and tuning in for the first time, you happen to just find us. We also have a WWE show as well. AEW will release on Wednesdays. WWE will release on Thursdays. Yes, we know it's flipped this week, but it was because Raw was on Netflix. And it was quite a momentous occasion and just happened. And I wanted to hit the YouTube algorithms. So shoot me. But now we're talking about some AEW. And they also had a momentous week as well. Even though WWE on Netflix was a big deal, AEW is now available in the United States on Max, which is huge for pretty much everyone in this country because now it's simultaneously broadcasted as well, which is great for me and Jake because now we could watch it. Live.
Me too.
Oh, wait, and you too. Wait, what time did it air? Was it an hour? Oh, wait, you didn't get to watch it at all before, right?
No, I cut my cable years ago. So I just catch up either watching online or watching individual matches. So now, same thing. Now, Raw and AEW shows I can watch in full live.
Wow. What a time. What a time to be alive, guys. It's amazing. But Simon, this is a massive new era for AEW. But, you know, let's dive into our first topic here. Coming out of World's End, you would think big end of the year pay-per-view. You called it World's End. Jon Moxley, he's got himself a flair. He's calling for people to come and save him. We don't know what's going on. And then nothing happens. At the end of the pay-per-view, it kind of just was a good show. It was an excellent show. I mean, AEW knocked it out of the park as always. But it just felt like the storylines didn't necessarily reset, but they kind of just stayed still going into New Year. Is that how it felt for you coming out of World's End?
I think that's fair. I think it's interesting because I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, so do forgive me. Obviously, I think Dynamite this week is going to be huge because a certain someone is making their return. But again, I will leave that until we get to the designated time. I think it's just an AEW staple. You know their pay-per-views are going to be good. And I think that's why they get a great buy rate every single time because it really pleases me because it's like the ultimate in fan feedback. You know what I mean? Like, so there are some websites that I don't visit anymore because too many times I've seen headlines and I click the headline and it's not true at all. You've exaggerated something that's happened. And after a while, I do like, what's the, I just skip past them now because I'm like, I don't trust you anymore. The coolest thing about an AEW pay-per-view is they always get around the same amount of buys, no matter what they have on, because people know I'm going to have a good time. I'm going to get my money's worth. That's exactly how I felt about at World's End. I think probably we would be talking about it a little bit differently, maybe, if we had main evented with the end of the continent, or the C2. You know, I think that's probably something they want to just incorporate. Because if you make it clear at the start of the tournament, this main event's that pay-per-view, then you'll get a few people to go, oh, the world title should always main event. But it doesn't matter. We've made a tradition. We have made a tradition like the Royal Rumble, right? The Royal Rumble often is the main event of the show, and the title match will go on before. Sometimes it goes on first. I think that would have changed things up, because I think given the quality of the match and just the way, because that was a big shift for me. I have a feeling the next time we see Okada, he's not going to be funny Okada anymore.
Oh, yeah.
We've moved him back into his serious lane. But obviously, if you'd ended with the big encounter between Kenny and Okada, and that was the last thing you saw, maybe there would have been this idea, oh my gosh, we are going into new territory. To me, the world title program at the moment is just in a state of flux, I would say. I'm interested to see where it goes, but I'm not entirely sure where it ends. But I have more thoughts on that, which I'll save to the designated stuff. So maybe it was just structured wrongly. But as always, I watch the end of it and I'm just like, oh, professional wrestling.
Yeah.
Aren't these people super duper talented at what they do? Yes, they are.
Yeah. And I think in that regard, right, like, you know, World's End delivered as a show, without a doubt. At the end of the pay-per-view, a certain rated R superstar showed up, Adam Copeland. And now the question is, are we hoping that Cope will cop the belt? And is it dope? That's right. Is it dope? We'll find out. So Copeland comes out. And with FTR, they do their, you know, the whole thing, standoff. And the conversation, Jake, online is, oh, my God, are they really going to put, you know, is Adam Copeland going to be the one to beat the Death Riders? And I don't think he will be. I just think it was like a really sick moment to have Adam Copeland come back and face off against Jon Moxley. What do you make of it?
I kind of think it is, too. I mean, because honestly, if that is how it ends, it to me, it kind of flies in the face of everything Mox has been preaching about so far anyway, about like wanting someone in this company to step up.
Yeah.
And that has always seemed directed toward, you know, the younger guys, right? Like the guys we saw in the match with him at World's End. And so I don't think the answer is 50-year-old Adam Copeland, but I think like we can still get some really good stuff out of him. I think like, you know, we could see it like, you know, him pushing him to the limit a little bit. And if nothing else, this, you know, this union of this unholy union of rated FTR, I think is going to make for a lot of fun fights between them and the Death Riders. And for that alone, for that entertainment value alone, because, you know, I mean, those three guys, they're just like everybody else in the Death Riders. They're going to, you know, they just like a good brawl.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and they're not afraid to get in there and get their hands dirty and maybe, you know, wrestle a little tight and a little snug. And that's going to make for some great stuff.
Yeah.
It's just, like you said, how do we, is this a situation where maybe Cope takes, it feels weird saying it. It's weird off the tongue, but Cope, is he going to maybe take some young guys under his wing and be like, hey, you know, this is what you're missing. This is what you need to do. This is how you need to step up. And then maybe, you know, push that baby bird out the nest and say, go win the title.
Yeah.
Maybe it could be something like that we see.
Mm.
Regardless, we're going to get some fun fights. And that's something that I think is worth looking forward to.
I agree on that. I will say, though, am I crazy for thinking, fellas, that maybe rated FTR put the Trios titles on
and
them.
The Trios, I was gonna say, yeah,
right,
I could see that, and have them do some stuff with you know, more stuff with Death Riders. And
because you really don't need the Trios belts on those guys right now. They're doing nothing with it. Honestly, I don't even think you need the Trios titles, period, but you know, that's a different conversation for another day. So mm-hmm. We might as well just do something with it. And you kind of did that with Copeland with the TNT title. right? Like they put the belt on him to really just kind of have great matches and to just reliable, you know, guy that you're going to see week in, week out, put on really good matches and be very entertaining and popular. So,
and another fun battle we could see is Rated FTR and the Patriarchy.
Yeah. Yeah.
That could be a lot of fun.
That's a good way to refresh the evergreen feud of Christian Cage and Adam Copeland. Yeah. One of those ones. Fight forever kind of things, but if you want to kind of freshen that up,
Cage Cope 50 this time for the trios titles. So good. But it was a really cool moment. It was great to see Adam Copeland back. It's nice to see him rocking with FTR. He faced off against Jericho and the Learning Tree on Collision, so it seems like they're really leaning on Adam Copeland right now, being like this this big face, because another particular individual is going to be returning. We'll talk about that in a little bit, but this kind of, I think, is a great opportunity for us to segue into what we were talking about before with SmackDown and WWE. We can kind of talk about it here, which is about how the main event picture, and Simon, you had also mentioned this briefly as well, the main event picture, it looks good. It's still entertaining, but everything else that's happening around AEW right now is just so damn good. And that wasn't the case not that long ago. If anything, the title picture was the most entertaining, and everything else around AEW was kind of like, middling a bit. But this time around, you got Julia Hart. She's back in this. The tag division is going good, and Toni Storm is just, how does she keep doing it? I don't get it. Simon, what'd you make of what's going on with the rest of AEW outside of the main event scene?
So I think something that Tony Khan, anybody else who's sort of leading that creative vision, deserves more credit for is quite clearly they listened to people and they realized people were saying, we want more of this, we want more of that. And over the last 4 months or however long it's been, that's what we've got. Everybody has a story. Everybody's characters are being looked into more. Some belts have got lost by the wayside, have come back into fruition. There are some that we still need that to happen with. The TNT title, for example, is a little bit lost in the shuffle, but hopefully that kind of changes soon. You mentioned the Toni Storm stuff, and it's not only what they're doing on Dynamite. There is a terrific video of Toni Storm.
Yes,
dude.
It's so, so good. Not only does everyone need to see it, but I really do think there's a conversation to be had. It's probably, it's 90 seconds long. I think you need to start putting these things on either a Collision or a Dynamite. I don't know. I kind of go back and forth with this. I would need to do a litmus test. There's a side of me that is like, I think we can embrace social media. It's 2025. But if something's good, maybe it should be on television as well, if for nothing else, so the company can tell you, we think this is really good, right?
Yes.
I kind of go back and forth with it because everyone goes, oh, why was it just on social media? Like, come on, man. People see everything on social media.
Right.
But maybe just because of the medium of television, it does feel more special. Maybe it just does because that's what we're used to. But it is so good. And I imagine it pays off with a big match in Australia against Mariah May. I just think it's wonderful. And I think she is wonderful. And I think it's absolutely lean more into this stuff.
Yeah.
Because I bet if I had pitched this on this show, some people would go, oh, it's so WWE. It's not. Go and watch it. It's completely unique and interesting.
Yeah.
And it's more like watching a sitcom. Like, it's what it felt like to me.
Yeah.
I think it's a work of art. That's over the top, but I'm sticking with it.
I keep seeing that commercial on Fox about the show about the doctor who gets amnesia and thinks her life is the way it was 10 years ago. That's essentially what we have now.
Yeah.
And it's even better. I'm more excited, way more interested in this than I'm anything. But I like she's doing her own Three Faces of Foley, but really building this whole new. It's not tongue in cheek at all. Like, she's
really
committing to the bit. And that is what I respect more than anything.
It's Three Faces of Foley meets David Brent. I mean, I tweeted that this is The Office spin, like that video Simon's talking about. It's like a snippet from The Office.
Yeah.
It's this Michael Scott, David Brent, like awkward. Everyone's kind of awkwardly interacting, but she's totally committed to the, and it's like this kind of docu-style, like funny follow video and everything. It's fantastic. Everybody's so good in it. She's amazing.
It takes a special talent to play both the straight man and the comedy guy, like she, and she's doing both of those,
skirting that line.
And that's what's so impressive about it. Like it's, she's really doing something remarkable here. And I feel like I do need to mention, I can't believe I didn't even bring up, on our year end episode, like everything that she had done this past year, because she's been tremendous. And like, just seeing this, it's like, where are we going to take this? Do we see timeless Toni Storm again? Are we going to see a rookie Toni Storm? Like
this is a still from the video on AEW social. I mean, again, if you're a fan of the storytelling, just the storytelling, this is
character build, world
this is
character,
it.
Yes,
this
character
is
development
it.
And character arc. I mean, she's like,
because here's the thing, when she came back as whatever you want to call it, Rocker Storm, in wrestling parlance and the wrestling we know, if she just would have come back in that style and just carried on as if she were Toni fucking Storm,
right,
fine, it would have been fine,
sure.
The fact that she added this other layer, that she coming, that she's brand new, that she's this, like, she totally reverted, like on a mental and emotional level, like it was a layer you didn't need to do, but you have to imagine that's Toni. That's all her being like, no, I can come back, but oh my God, it's so good. Go seek out every bit of content with
I want to know who they got to film that. Honestly, because whoever they got to film and edit it, like, it really deserves a lot of flowers, because
it feels like a legitimate, like, television sitcom.
Yeah.
Modern,
like, I would watch this as, like, you know, you got like what is the TV show? The one, the Heels, not the, I forget the one that Stephen Amell's on. Heels. You know, you have all these different TV shows. I would take that in a heartbeat, and that would be so funny. You know, just it's so absurd, like a wrestler, like fish out of water kind of concept, you know, man. And it's not just Toni Storm, by the way. Like there's a lot of good happening also in the tag division. I do want to give a shout out, because Private Party, you know, won the tag championships from the Young Bucks, and the belts were in a really weird spot. They were trying to figure out where they could pivot things, and Private Party haven't really done much. They've done a few matches, nothing all that crazy, but now they're starting to see, Simon, some buildup in this tag division, right? You got Leo Rush and Action Andretti, who are starting to make their faces more known as like a heel bad guy faction or team, excuse me. You got Top Flight that's getting more involved. So do you think, like, you know, this is the start of them trying to maybe build out the rest of this tag division? Because it has been very Young Bucks heavy for such a long time now.
I hope so. Like I say, I think the immediate aftermath, maybe they didn't capitalize on as much as they should have done, but it almost ties into the John Moxley story without it being attached at all. What we seem to have done is put our young and up and coming talent with some established guys too. Like Leo Rush to me is brilliant. I really, really like Leo Rush. And you know, Leo Rush and Axel Andretti as a tag team at first was like, what? And they come out wearing those stupid coats, and instantly I'm like, I'm in. There you go. I'm like, right, I'm done. Because I think sometimes we are, you know, guilty of overthinking things. That's a tag team for
someone. Why does Leo Rush look like
wrestling.
A red shell?
Hey, he looks like coronavirus. It looks like coronavirus. Or it looks like they're wearing like those jackets for like when old people fall, and you tend to fall and pops up and protect them.
I want to buy it now. I want to buy it. Sorry, Simon. Didn't mean to cut you off, but
no, please. You can always cut me off with COVID. I just think we have to give it some more time to establish these people as teams. And I think so far they're doing a great job. All it really needs is some more dedicated time on either Dynamite or Collision. And it's getting there, right? It's been increasing.
And that's what Collision has been. Like Collision is, I really have enjoyed watching Collision week in, week out. It's gotten so much better because before it was like, you know, they're not really sure what they're doing with this show. It's kind of all over the place right now. Okada shows up sometimes.
Spillover kind of.
It really did. But now Collision, like certain people are just staying on Collision, and it is very much benefiting them. And Leo Rush, Action Andretti, Top Flight, that pairing has been pretty much exclusively on Collision and Rampage, and it has been very fun to watch them develop. Rampage was a goated show, by the way, and it deserved more love. It deserved more love. It never got the love. It, sometimes they had good, story bits on there. And then, you know, then they kind of forgot about it. There was another big return that happened. I would argue the biggest return for AEW, right? I think we can make that case. Like, the biggest return, Kenny Omega is back. The best bout machine has returned. He had just a banger of a match with Gabe Kidd at New Japan. It was Wrestle Dynasty. That was Wrestle Dynasty, right? Yeah. We don't have to dive into that. You should watch Simon's ups and downs on Wrestle Dynasty if you want a good recap on it, because you did a brilliant recap on that matchup. But holy shit, Kenny Omega can still go at a level that I did not think he...
He was not going to come back if he couldn't. There's no way, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, you would have to think.
Yeah.
He does not seem like the kind of guy who's just going to come back and half-ass, knowing the kind of performer that he is. And yeah, he came back and
now
boss of the wall.
He comes back in an amazing match against Gabe Kidd. And before that, though, he handed Okada the Continental Championship at the end of the tournament at World's End. He actually showed up at World's End. That's when his return happened. And then his return match was at Wrestle Dynasty. Matt, is it going to be Okada then? It makes sense, right? Might as well. Tony Khan likes going back to the New Japan playbook.
Yeah, I mean, and it a hell of a way to, as you guys mentioned before, pivot Okada back to that, like, another serious bout machine, a serious threat, a little bit less of I'm going to stop and smack somebody and say bitch for a pop kind of thing.
Although it was amazing.
We all love it, and we don't have to delete it, but we can just, like, we can back pocket it.
We can move on from it now.
Often, you know what I mean? We're going to see if it's going to be, will this be a continental title feud that can hopefully elevate this title? I think the tournament was great at maybe doing that. I was hoping for a new champion, but again, this is going to be the last time I mention it. If it ends up being that and Kenny Omega wins the continental title after people spent 6 weeks fighting for it, and then this guy gets to come in and win it in one match, I hate that concept. But I think it's a great way to turn a spotlight on a main event level spotlight on a title that really floundered in 2024.
Yeah. Simon, I've been saying that they should merge the belts. They should merge the Continental and the International to make the International Continental Championship, not the Intercontinental. That would make too much sense. No. Do you share Matt's sentiment that... Yeah. It was once the American Championship. Do you share Matt's sentiment that it's weird that Kenny Omega coming in after this tournament seemingly takes place and then says, oh, hey, by the way, I'm going to challenge for this thing now. Missed the tournament, though. How do you feel about that?
So, absolutely. But there is a big outlier, an asterisk. I don't know what other words I could come up with. Kenny Omega, man. Like I say, I watched that Wrestle Dynasty match. And look, forget about the match itself, which was absolutely brilliant. Just the entrance, the little smirk that he did. We'll use the 2025 terms, the aura, the cinema. There is something about the riz. This dude.
Yeah.
He did. He had the riz. Absolutely. Give me the boom. And it's just what I would honestly do. And I understand that AEW has plans. And I understand that we need to let things play out. I just think Kenny Omega could be one of those wrestlers. Like, there are lots of wrestlers we talk about right now that I do believe are heading or are in that generational talent territory, given what they've done. But it's an argument to be had. If anyone comes to me and tries to argue about Kenny Omega, I'm just going to kick them out of my house. I'm like, you're just not being honest. You're just not being honest, because he is, I hate the term, but I also love the term. He's just built different. He really is. I don't know what it is. It's even when he does an interview out of character. And I mean, this is a huge compliment. He's a really weird dude in the best possible way, because he's engaging and he sort of has an interesting
and he's
way
genuine
sentences. And he's genuine too.
Yes.
And he'll always give you an honest answer. Like, when he was away, I watched loads of his Twitch streams. I remember when he talked about wanting to be presented like Roman Reigns. That is what I think AEW should do. I don't know how you get there. I don't know how you move Moxley away or maybe hold off Darby Allin or what you do with the Cope. I'm going to put a vert in front of his name. I think it's much better. I just think if you have someone like Kenny Omega, I do think you can rip up the playbook and the rule book and just go with him. I really, really do. And what annoys me is some people have gone, oh, this was AEW's biggest mistake. They never did this. Oh, what about when Kenny Omega collected like 7,000 belts? Well, that wasn't making him die. Now, understandably, he was a heel then. I loved Kenny Omega's heel work. I compare it to when Stone Cold went heel in 2001. You can actually look at it in two different ways. Very entertaining. And Kenny Omega is very entertaining. But no one's going to boo him when he almost died 8 months ago. And if you say, what is wrong with you? So I honestly just think, figure it out. Make him the champion. Turn him into, to use his own words, the Roman Reigns of AEW. And I think it will work. And listen, he may not want that. I want to make it very clear. He may not be interested in that at all. But I'm just saying, that is the big overwhelming thought I had. I was just like, wow, man, you a superstar. You just a big deal. And you didn't even do anything. You just walked out to your new entrance song. And I was like, oh, man, Kenny Omega's here. So, yeah. I mean, that's what I would do. And if it starts with the Continental title, even though Matt is 100% right, it is totally mad. If it gets Kenny Omega to that point, I just think you've got to run with it. I think when you have someone like this, you've got to take advantage as much.
But then how does that impact guys like Okada, though? Because isn't Okada supposed to be that as well? Or is that ship sailed?
No, he is as well. He is as well, but I think you have to, again, John Cena said it best. It's not your night, kid. So you just need to figure out whose night it is and go with it.
That's
you can
true.
Always move a card. You can always move a card back there. But right now, Kenny Omega's just come back. So he has that sort of majesty when you do have your big return. I just don't think anybody should waste it. But again, it depends what Kenny Omega wants to do. I know that makes me sound like a mad person, but he is a human being that's allowed to have his own thoughts and feelings. So if he doesn't want to be the guy, that's also totally okay. I am just talking about it from a very fan perspective.
Sure. But I do think, though, to your point, right, like Kenny Omega may not want to be the guy, but he is the guy. Like, no matter how you try to sell it, it was kind of the reason why I was so bummed out. I went back, you know, since Max shows all the pay-per-views, and I went back and watched the Cody Jericho feud, and man, I still feel like the worst decision possible was to put Cody in that stipulation that he would never win the title or he can never fight for the title. It was just not a good idea, because Cody, when you go back and watch it, was just freaking on fire, and it's like you got to strike on those opportunities. And I think Kenny Omega is going to be on fire, and you kind of have to. You have no other choice. But Matt, you know, or either Jake, actually bring Jake in on this one, because we got Matt's perspective. Jake, I guess, having been in that, you know, watching to C2, you enjoyed the matches and we talked about it a lot. But now we're in this post C2 era here, Okada, Kenny Omega. Is this what you would like to see? Or do you want to see, like what Simon was saying, him kind of leapfrog straight into the title picture against Moxley?
And with him kind of getting, I was going to call it a warm up feud or a warm up match, but you're talking about with Okada being a warm up, like that's, you know,
it's crazy.
That, yeah. So I don't know, but I do want to see him kind of like, you know, get back in the swing of things. He needs to remind everybody just who the hell Kenny Omega is. You know what I mean? And I think that's important. I think you can do that with doing that with an Okada comes in and he immediately makes this impact where people are like, oh, right, that's what we've been missing for a year now.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. Cause I like, he is a guy that, you just want to see him in the main title picture. But at the same time, I still feel like they're trying to cook something with this main event picture.
Yeah.
There's still some story that they are trying to tell that it feels like they're working their way through trying to find it. And I just don't want to see them abandon that at the drop of a hat because Kenny Omega is back.
Yeah. Especially that's considering only, that they dropped the Elite story.
Exactly. Right. And they've just done that too much. I feel like sometimes AEW gets in the trouble of, of chasing views or chasing, you know, star ratings, like, hey, this match would be great, so let's just do this match, instead of, you know, thinking, okay, well, how does this affect the stories that we're telling now and the characters that we've developed and are in the process of developing? Like, what can we do to supplement that and now bring in this other huge piece of Kenny Omega?
Yeah.
And I think that's as much of the reason why they're probably having him start with Okada, because it's been this, I mean, we've talked about it so much. Aside from this tournament, they have really not done much with that belt. So if this gives Okada something to do, something significant to do, and also brings Kenny Omega back in the fold, I'm 100% here for it.
Yeah. 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 I think, like, we're hopefully going to be into an era where we get more Okada, because he's been, you know, they haven't really found much angles to use him in. And I guess it also kind of ties back into what we were talking about before with Collision, how, like, much more focused Collision has become. And it does allow Dynamite to kind of be this flagship show, because, like, guys like Okada should be on Dynamite. Like, that's the show, you know, that's the thing that you put everywhere. Collision then comes after Dynamite, you know? So you want Kenny, you want Okada, you want Hangman, you want Jay White, you want Moxley, you want those guys there, right? Because those guys are going to, you know, do some good work. But then you want to take guys like Mark Briscoe, your Daniel Garcias, you know, your private parties, and you want to put those folks on Collision, because they're going to give you, like, incredible matches. Go back and watch Daniel Garcia versus Mark Briscoe this past weekend for the TNT title. Excellent matchup. Phenomenal matchup.
But then another thought I just had, too, is, like, we can't complain that this belt has felt like it has had no meaning and then be like, get Kenny out of there.
Yeah.
Like let Kenny come in and give it more meaning. And
Kenny wants the belt.
Gravitas. Kenny wants the belt. He wants the title. He wants it from Okada. Like, let them run with it. Let's build that up. Let's build up these mid-card titles more as well.
Yeah. Damn. I'm excited. This is going to be it's going to be fun. Kenny Omega coming back. Now, by the time this airs, Kenny Omega would have returned. So, you know, we're going to know, like, where we're going. But I will say that wherever we end up, I think it's just going to be, we're going to be treated to just God tier matches, and that's all we can ask for. You know, that's all we can ask for. All right. Well, you know, a little bit of a lighter week, a lighter day for AEW. There's a decent amount of stuff to talk about. We can still dive into Ricochet actually just demolished Swerve Strickland. I don't know if you guys had an opportunity to see that, but it was quite bloody. That was something that took place just recently on the last Dynamite. Simon, you know, there's been so much discourse about what is going on with what is going on with Ricochet. Are you excited for now this character developing, this psychotic, manic, almost very brutal, bloody guy is now taking over? What do you feel about it?
So when he started to tease this, and we had that segment with the Hurt Syndicate where they kind of mugged him off, I remember there were so many people like, oh, Kyle, he looks like such a geek. He looks like such a nerd. I made a point of going on my stupid show and being like, this is going to be the greatest thing to ever happen to Ricochet. I could feel it. I could feel it in my bones, because the one thing that Ricochet needed was to, you know, shed what he was and become something.
Yes.
You do that when you go to a new company. And you can't just, you have to go through, the reason he turned into like a 1970s hitman is because he got humiliated for being a dork.
Yeah.
So he got hit and made by the Hurt Syndicate. Then he had toilet paper thrown on him. Mm-hmm. And I imagine in that moment where you have Swerve and Prince Nana singing songs about him, he was like, oh, I've snapped. And so without him being a nerd, you know, it'd be so rubbish if he just came out and he was like a killer now. Everyone moaned about that, or AEW. Well, they did it, right? They gave you a proper beat-to-beat, story-to-story, week-to-week thing.
Yeah.
I think it's awesome. And I also think if you go to the Wrestle Dynasty show, the fact that Ricochet has become this character actually helped that main event with Zack Sabre Jr., which was in a horrible position because they had to follow the Kenny Omega match. I don't think anybody could have done that, but I think Ricochet just turning it on and being way more aggressive than we've seen, I thought it was a really good main event. Like, I really did. I was a big fan of that. Then he goes, well, the week before, the few days before, he essentially tries to murder Swerve. So now he's got his edge. You know, he's got that attitude, yeah, to use a wrestling word. And now I'm excited to see what he's going to do. And I just think, again, it does not feel like the Ricochet we've seen for the last 5-6 years, whatever it is, in WWE. And I actually think we haven't seen him cut a promo like the crazy person yet. I think it's going to help that too. I think when he starts talking, he can change up his cadence. He can less is more, for sure, with that type of character. And he feels way more like a main event guy than he did when he first came in. So that's a mission success. And this is exactly the kind of thing that AEW should be doing. I imagine it was a collaborative effort. Thumbs up all round. I think, to me, it's a very weird comparison. It's like when Britt Baker cut the promo on Tony Schiavone about being a barista. I was like, that's it. That's different. And I want to see where this goes. And I think this is exactly the same. And yeah. I think within 6 months, you're not even going to remember what the old Ricochet looked like. You'll see him completely differently.
Yeah, Matt, you were chuckling for a minute.
Just because I'm like, it's more of an aside. I'm like, the pattern is starting to form. Let's hope it doesn't get too rote in the next year or two. If we want to get someone over, we just have them go insane and bloody Swerve Strickland and just destroy his life. It worked for Hangman. So now, like, what's Ricochet? Is he going to kill his dog? Like, is he going to, like, stab his mom?
No. Or, like, he's going to burn his dog's house down. He's going to burn his dog's house down.
But yeah, so like, yeah, that was why I chuckled. I'm like, oh god, this is gonna be the thing. When we need to get somebody over, we switch him and we have him absolutely destroy Swerve's life.
But well, no, yeah, go for
everything.
It,
everything said was true. I think an edge for Ricochet, as long as he can commit to it and deliver it with some conviction, because that's been his issue with his promo game and his character game. Is it? I don't think he's been the strongest talker and everything, but he's never been really given anything with meat. So he's got to commit to it. He's got to have that conviction and everything like that. And as long as he does it, I think this could be a really great launching pad for him.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, let's not forget about the Hurt Syndicate, you know, kind of lingering about, right? Does this, Jake, get him into the Hurt Syndicate? Because they said, like, MVP was like, we hurt people. That's what we do. By the way, that song, yeah, so freaking dope. But it's like, we hurt people. So Ricochet.
Yes.
He's hurting some people.
Yeah. I think this is all going to circle back to Hurt Enterprise LLC. I can't remember what they're called. I can never remember. So I just
Hurt
make it up every
Syndicate.
Time.
Hurting friends.
So I think it's going to circle back to them, because I think it's going to be a situation of, that moment from Django where he's, well, gentlemen, you had my curiosity, but now you have my attention. I think that is exactly how they're going to feel about Ricochet. It's like, oh, we saw something Ricochet. And then, you know, the more we got, the more watched him, we thought maybe we don't. And we, you know, and maybe this was their way of saying, hey, go become the man and the person that we need you to be and that you need to be. And then maybe we can revisit a partnership here.
Yeah.
I think that's exactly what we're going to see, because we also saw, I mean, they've got friction with Swerve too. So yeah, it makes sense for this to all come back together.
But fellas, does he join the Hurt Syndicate? Because they could still sun him. They could still, like, make him feel like small time, you know, yeah, which makes him even crazier. And then he goes and then he burns multiple dog homes.
Am I too big brained or maybe smooth brained for thinking that maybe the Hurt Syndicate is a microcosm and or reflection of the way the wrestling industry has viewed Ricochet for the last 7 or 8 years? Ooh. Oh, he's a nice guy. He's great looking. Hell of an athlete, kid, kind of thing. But the guy's never had anything of substance, never had any edge. Nobody's ever taken him seriously, right? Oh, you're good. But you don't fit here. You don't have what it takes, kind of thing, to reach that net. And so they kind of represent what people both in the industry and in the audience have maybe said about Ricochet. Like, he's good, but I don't think he's a main eventer. I don't think he's got...
He's not that guy.
Yeah. And then this is Ricochet responding to that. Yeah. And whether that brings him into that fold of that group, I don't know. They could go anywhere with that. But yeah.
And also,
he's a whiny. He's just like a, you know, he's like Luke Skywalker whining, please train me in the Force.
Yeah.
Please. And finally, we see a little spark in him and we think, oh, okay, maybe he can be a part of this. Let's. come join us. Get under our wing here. Let us nurture you, if you will.
Yeah.
Baby, mother, mama bird, our knowledge into your mouth.
Yes.
That was a weird
regurgitate one. It like that. Yes. You know, like that. Yeah. I like it. I'm with it. All right. Well, I mean, look, AEW is now on Max in the United States. Did anything change internationally, Simon, that you know about, or is it still the same?
AW Plus, which is an amazing service on Triller. I'm not affiliated with them in case anyone wonders. But again, like, you never get any of the technical issues, and you get all the ads. Well, there are no ads. You get to see the matches and stuff going on. Yeah. It's a really good job. And it costs me like $5 a month. I mean, it should be.
That's great.
Say this. They could probably charge more. Please don't. But please don't. It's really good.
Don't put that out there.
Some Triller executive just stumbles upon this one random thing. He's like, you know what? $15 sounds great. That bald Bunch guy's right. Right. Yeah. All right. Well, guys, you know, we didn't get to do it in the WWE show because we split the shows now. We split the brands. Royal Rumble predictions are going to be on the first one, and then we'll figure it out when the Rumble's over. But this week, we get to do our Rebook 24/7 Champion of the Week. And Simon, you're going to get to see this, but the guys are going to get to see this new graphic that I whipped up for our Rebook 24/7 Champion of the Week. That is, of course, the title that we give for the person, place, or thing in pro wrestling or around it or whatever. That just made us happy this week. That brought us joy. And joy comes in many forms, by the way. So who wants to go first? Because I think... go for it, Matt.
I'll go first. Because I was originally going to... I wasn't sure if we were going to talk about it. My original thing was that Tony video and like that side of her character. Just go check it out. But yeah, I did have a backup, and my backup is it is a callback to WWE. Look, Netflix was a momentous night. Celebrities were abound, ladies and gentlemen. But there was a bit, and this hurts my cross, so I need to shout my man out. There was a snub.
A snub.
That happened.
Yes.
Because the infamous, the famous Danielle Fishel of Boy Meets World, Topanga Lawrence herself, clearly brought her friend. And who was her friend? That wasn't just some random husband or boyfriend or some friend from college. That was Will goddamn Friedle.
Yeah.
From Boy Meets World. And yeah, he didn't get a lower third.
Damn.
Or any mention from Michael Cole. I don't know if maybe they weren't aware of him coming ahead of time, obviously, but the fact that no one, that even McAfee didn't jump on that and be like, hey, look, she's with Will Friedle. And so shout out, Will. We love you.
That's
big
awesome.
Brother, our big brother from All Back. So that's mine.
Okay. Yeah. I like that. All right.
Biggest pop of the night might have been Macaulay Culkin, by
no
the way.
No doubt.
Bro, Macaulay Culkin and Danielle Fishel. They both had crazy big pops. It was pretty dope. I'll just get it out of the way. Screw it, because mine is just, it's too good. It's just too good. It's just too good. Hulk Hogan gets booed out of the building in Los Angeles, and Netflix got it in 4K with captions and everything. Crowd booing. Best moment. That was crazy.
Wow.
Right? That was crazy because they like the music hit and then people were like, oh, cheering. But then you started to hear the boos start to pierce through the sound a little bit more. And then he started talking. And then poor, you know, actually, I'm going to change
it's all Jimmy Hart.
No. It's my Rebook 24/7 champion is Jimmy Hart, Jimmy Hart had to stand there and deal with this bullshit while Hogan hawks his freaking water beer to everyone else. Oh, my gosh. That was utterly hilarious. That was great. Good moment. Top moment. Hands down. All right. Matt went, Simon, Jake, who wants to go next?
I'll go just because Matt stole mine. I was going to talk.
Sorry.
I'm not kidding you. No, it's a good thing. I'm glad that you did, because if anybody watched my ups and downs today, I deliberately took over my own show, and the first 2 minutes was me ranting. Poor Eric from Boy Meets World got completely ignored.
Yeah.
Just like, screw wrestling, man. You don't do this. So just to, I mean, pull one out of my head to someone that we didn't talk about on either show. I just think the New Day have been totally.
Oh yeah. Like, they've been great.
Even though their match clearly got pulled, you know, it's clearly going to be Rey and Penta versus those two. The fact that they just strolled up casually and just went, we didn't want to do it, which makes no sense. But they say everything with such confidence. And then the Kendrick Lamar line, oh my gosh.
So good.
I don't think WWE realize how lucky they are to have those two who are just so up on pop culture. They can drop these lines and make the company incredibly relevant. So yeah, I think they deserve a shout out, especially because actually since their heel turn, I do kind of feel like they've been fed scraps a little bit. We're clearly just waiting for the right moment to sort of explode it a bit more. So they'll be given 2 minutes here and 3 minutes there every single time. Home run, home run, home run. I think it's the best segment. Top five, top 10 segment. Again, we'd have to break that down of 2024. So yeah, just shout out to Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods, who are doing top tier main event level work, and they're not even in the main event. So fair play to them.
It was so good. Them being in the box and everyone partying that and them great. Looking just like what are you doing? It was just so amazing. Oh, also Kathy Kelly, when like the whole like, oh, we got to go. And then she goes, it's just all that
Nobody
was
Nobody likes them.
Nobody likes them. It's Nobody so good. It's them. So good. All right. Jake, take us home, brother. Oh, wait a minute.
It's been quite the holiday, I'll just say, especially for myself. A lot of traveling, a week with the in-laws, a week with my family back in Alabama. I got sick. I had to take my dad to the emergency room. It was a whole crazy. It's fine, by the way. It was a kidney stone, but still taking your 79-year-old father who is never in pain about anything, to the emergency room. Anyway,
it's a harrowing thought.
So there is one champion. I'm just going to say it. They're a champion, whether we assign it to them or not, who's come through in the clutch in this moment. My 24/7 champion of the week is my own bed. Just being and that is a universal your own bed. That is my 24/7 champion. Oh my God, it feels so good to be sleeping in my own bed and being in home and relaxing finally. That's my 24/7 champion.
You're talking to three guys who go on the road quite a bit.
I thought you would understand as much as anybody.
Can appreciate what you just said. After I wrapped up doing, I did a show, was a Valorant lock-in in Brazil, and the hotel room that I was in was really nice, except for the fact that the bathroom was right next to the bed, and for some reason, the bathroom wasn't ventilated. So if I showered, just all the steam made its way out to the bedroom, and was on my sheets. And I stayed there for 3 weeks. So, you know, that I getting back to my own bed was that was a beautiful thing. I agree with that one. All right, we got a pick. So we got
that said, I'm willing to place the crown squarely on Eric Matthews' head.
I didn't watch Boy Meets World, but you know what? And also further fuck Hulk Hogan. So there we go. We can Boy Meets World gets the win. All right, guys. Well, that is going to do it. And one more time, just because I got to show it, that was our 24/7 Rebook Champion of the Week. That is going to do it for our show. Simon, thank you for sticking with us for both shows. We really appreciate it, man. Once again, you can find Simon on Ups and Downs on What Culture, a wrestling channel that actually pumps out some God-tier content. So go and check those folks out. You can also check out Simon on his own YouTube channel, right? Simon Miller 316. He wants to really kick your ass. He's a big fan. Got to make a shirt, Simon 316. You got to have a Simon 316 shirt, man.
So I did once have a shirt like that, and it did cross too many boundaries, and I received a very much deserved cease and desist. So,
I didn't say sell it. Oh, man. All right. Well, thank you so much once again, Simon, and Simon Miller 316, right, for all social media.
There it's the one. Depressingly so, but I'll be there.
Perfect, perfect. All right, guys. Well, that's going to do it for us. Make sure you like and subscribe. If you're watching us on YouTube, you can subscribe there. If you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, make sure you give us a follow, share the show, and join our Discord where we're going to keep the conversation going. Thank you all so much for watching. We'll catch you next week. Happy New Year, and we'll see you soon. Peace.